I mean, I think it's interesting given that Top Gear in its previous format came under so much criticism for being, you know, quite sexist and quite misogynistic at times. And the new format really hasn't taken the challenge on to diversify properly. I think it's interesting given that women make 80% of car choices in families when it comes to purchasing. And I really think that the BBC has missed a trick in terms of reaching out and growing its audience when they could have had, you know, another really good woman presenter on to kind of diversify things so that more women would hopefully tune in and watch the show. It's about audience numbers at the end of the day, and I think that they are really missing a trick here.
Do you agree, Martin?
I think she's quite right. It is about audience members. 350 million people watch the world's biggest factual show every week. It's broadcast in 214 countries, and 40% of the current audience are female, who until this point, you know, didn't seem to have much problem with the lineup. And I think that's to the core of this. It's like, you know, the people who are complaining, are they really Top Gear audience members, or are they just people who like to be offended by this sort of stuff? What we've seen here is a response, you know, seven people, you know, people who are sort of widely criticising this. It's like, all that's missing is a kind of lesbian or a transgender or perhaps a dwarf. But, you know, we don't know who's inside the Stig's outfit. It could be Claire Boulding. I think the point is, you know, we have here a response to the criticisms it's not diverse enough by making a Top Gear panel that's the size of a brass section from an orchestra. I think it's ridiculous. I think it panders to those who'd like to be offended, and I predict it'll be a ratings flop.
Well, Martin, I mean, your take on diversity is really interesting because you're kind of treating it like a tick box exercise. And I do think that having just one woman on feels a little bit tokenistic at this stage. What we know is that women are overtaking men in terms of numbers of passing driving tests. They are the biggest emerging market for car ownership. They make all of the purchasing choices. There's a huge percentage of women out there who could be watching the show and, you know, trying to rival the other Top Gear. Which
so is it wrong to have Anton Deck? Is it wrong to have Markham and Wise?
No, I think it's about...
How does loose women get away with what they do? All women on a panel.
Well, because it's called Loose Women. It's a TV show.
Should it not be called Loose Women and Loose Men in order to represent the male viewers who are watching it as well?
Well, no, because it's aimed at a very, very specific female market, right? It's aimed at women who are at home during the day. I don't think that that's the same thing.
So why can't Top Gear be aimed at men?
Because cars aren't aimed at men.
But daytime television isn't aimed at women.
It's a show which is essentially about cars. We have so few women on TV as it is, particularly in the kind of macho cheap TV shows. Top Gear had such a bad reputation in terms of sexism. I just can't understand why they haven't put on a better number of women. It's not like there isn't, you know, a huge supply of great female drivers out there. Sabine Schmidt is one of the biggest names in racing in the world. There are plenty of women who are experts who could have gone on there. I mean, Matt LeBlanc is hardly an expert. He's a bit of a has-been. I mean, he hasn't done anything with his career in recent years.
He starred in one of the world's biggest TV shows, Friends. It was almost entirely squarely aimed at women.
But my point is, there are expert women drivers who could be on that show as well.
Let's hear from Martin too.
Look, this show is the biggest television show on the planet. It's been the biggest television show on the planet with, until this point, groups of, you know, testosterone-fueled men who reflect the kind of mentality at that kind of end of the market. You say women make the vast majority of car choices, sure, and they tend to buy, you know, sort of sensible family cars that reflect the needs of being a family man. And Top Gear, for that reason, is escapism. You know, we can't afford Ferraris. We can't afford Aston Martins. It's pornography in that sense. It's escapism. And its sense of humour is also an escapism from the constant kind of tiresome attrition of the Equalities Brigade telling us that we have to tick all these boxes. And that's what this new show feels like. It doesn't feel like to me It's listened to the core audience. It's listened to the critics.
Yeah, but the point is, Martin, the core audience is not just men. And what an opportunity this was for the BBC to redress the balance and have more women on that presenter lineup.
Well, they have got more women. They've got Sabine, who's an awesome driver.
Well, one more. Whoop the doop. One more. They could have had more.
When they could have recruited in some of the fantastic female drivers that we have in the UK. Personally, I would have liked to have seen one of the young up-and-coming racing drivers from the UK, of which there are plenty, taking to the show.
Yeah, great drivers don't necessarily make great TV presenters. I think we need to be clear about that, too. Being great on camera. Even Chris Evans is getting car sick and he's having to do multiple takes, you know. It doesn't necessarily...
As apparently do most of the presenters on shows like that, to be fair to Chris.
Yeah, but great drivers don't equate great TV presenters. In the previous lineup, they had great drivers and great TV presenters who are a great success around the world. And that format has been meddled with, I think, by politically correct complainants who aren't viewers and won't ever be.
The old format represents a type of TV which is a little bit passé. It's about men being laddie and, as you say, testosterone-fueled. And I don't believe the idea that women only are buying sensible cars. In fact, the data doesn't back that up. The data says that women purchase interesting cars. They're purchasing more sports cars than men. They're purchasing faster, bigger, better cars than their male counterparts. So, frankly, I think that the show should be expanding its market and looking at how it can get more women involved in watching the show. I don't think that just having one woman on, it feels quite tokenistic, frankly.
I think that's where we're at. You know, if you give an inch, then people expect a mile. And, you know, I think the acid test of this will be in how the viewers respond. You know, let's see what the ratings are, because, you know, they have a clear choice now. They have the old format that was so widely condemned by its many vocal critics. By the way, Bring Back Clarkson got over 1 million signatures. 1 million people want this guy on the TV. Those girls will be free to go to Amazon to check out the old show and the alternative that's being offered now. Let's see if it catches on. If people want more women and they write in and that's what comes to be, then so be it. I predict it won't work.
Here's David in Warringstown. Morning, David.
Well, Stephen, how you doing? Even if they put you on the new Top Gear lineup, nobody would watch it.
Have you got your radio on in the background?
No, I haven't.
I'm hearing an echo in my ear. I bet you it's because your radio's on the background.
My radio is not on the background, Stephen, because I'm not listening to you.
You've turned it off now.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I
didn't. Oh, yes, you did.
Well, I'm not going to argue with you. Who you are, you're the biggest man in the country. Anyway, there was only one ever good lineup for Top Gear, and that was Clarkson, May, and Hammond. It used to be the biggest show in the world. Used to be being the key word. It's a show that I really did like, but when the whole thing kicked off for Clarkson last year and was all taken off the air, I watched the repeats. I'll never get the chance to watch them on the BBC.
Do you know what? Do you know what, Martin, David? I heard the same thing being said when Terry Wogan was leaving Radio 2, and they were predicting a demise in the ratings of Radio 2. And, mm-hmm, of course, Chris Evans came into Radio 2, and I think the ratings went up.
Well, I don't listen to Chris Evans. I listen to you and I listen to Sean Coyle. So, you know what I mean. I wouldn't be a big fan of Chris Evans. Chris Evans hasn't the same charisma as... he wouldn't have the same charisma as Jeremy Clarkson. Andy Willman was the driving force behind the old Top Gear. And I will be watching the remake of their show on Amazon, like a lot of other people. Wouldn't matter who you put on in the lineup.
Why? Just because you're used to them?
No, it was just the chaos and the mayhem, yeah, and the excitement and the entertainment that they created.
Which is going to be hard to recreate, Adrian and Martin, in this new show, isn't it?
Of course it's going to be hard to recreate, which is why they should be looking at a totally new and fresh format to attract people who've never watched Top Gear in the first place, because they're competing with the old style Top Gear, which, you know, has a really loyal following of macho men who are okay with people getting punched in the face at work.
excuse me, my dear, I'm not a macho man. And more to the point, Jeremy Clarkson was never charged or taken to court. Now, I take great offence at you making that comment to me. I am not a macho man. You can laugh all you like, my dear. That is not a funny comment to be making about anybody.
So tell me what you do think, David.
I think that the new Top Gear is a dead duck in the water. It's not going to take off. And I will eat my hat if it does. And I'm very confident that I will not be eating my hat.
Okay. David, thank you. Martin, thank you.